If you have 0 over 50, what's the answer?
0.
Got it. See? So there you go. So now, your A value you have, call it out.
77.56.
Okay. Divided by 0.
Okay,
remember,
yeah,
it's A over B.
A over B.
Yep.
Divided by 0.
Which is the same amount of money.
Is 0?
If you take 77 point whatever and divide it by 0, the answer is 77 point whatever.
Oh, it cannot divide. Yeah, it's the same. It just stays the same.
Correct, but we gave you the formula, so if it was 0.1, you would be able to complete it in other formats. You see, we're giving you the whole thing so you can play.
Be B. That would be your answer for B.
That's correct. Very good. Okay. Very good. Okay, now. You have your A over B value, okay?
Yes.
Now, then we'd say take and go to your May Bank rate, get your certificate of deposit rate for the, if you're going in a past date, go the next day value, check that rate.
Okay,
but if it's
see,
today,
right now I haven't yet gotten the May Bank. How do I get the May Bank intraday rates? I haven't been able to call them, and every time I call, it just rings and rings. And it must be a long-distance issue.
It's possible. Okay, then in your Googling search, you should be able to. We chose May Bank just because that we know they're consistent. But there are other banks that would publish rates, So anywhere you find it, even Standard Charter, Singapore National, there's tons of places that you could do it. We just chose Maybank because it was the simplest. Okay.
Okay. So I want to look for basically daily certificate of deposit rates.
Correct. And as long as it's from a place where it's a day ahead and it's trustworthy. You know what I'm saying? Don't get it in a payday loan place because you know how that's going to be skewed. But you'll figure that out. That's minor, comparatively speaking. So if their interest rate for 10 days is 0.75% or 1 point or 0.25, whatever that is,
What would do you on March 17th? What was the rate?
We're not doing that. You got to find it because that won't help you.
Oh,
this
I mean,
your creation.
But I can't find. No one posts that
you
daily that far back.
Well, then you could just look at what the rate was.
The rate.
If you're over a month now, you could be able to find a monthly rate, monthly CD rate of what they were paying then, and divide it by 30, and you'd have the daily rate, wouldn't you?
Oh, you can just. Oh, okay. So Maybank's rate for the month was 2.5.
Okay, then divide that by 30.
Oh, wait a second. You know what? Let me double check that.
Double check. That's right.
Let me just.
But you see, you're dealing with time.
Yeah.
It's a fault. So, if as long as you know what it was for a month, then you know the daily rate would be boom. If the monthly rate was boom.
Okay, now I'm on Maybank's deposit rates. Okay.
Good.
Oh, here's the 1 week.
Got it.
Okay.
Good.
This is. Oh, where the hell was this page? Treasury. It's under the Treasury tab. Okay.
Of course.
So 1 week. What is the repo? Repo means. Let's just do in 1 week is okay. I got to go back to something else. I got to go to accounts and banking. Then I got to go fixed deposit and get back to what we were at for the.
Sometimes it might be in time deposit. They do have it is a bit obscure how they lay things out because the clients that they have aren't people drawing pension things. You know, this is big money accounts. You know what I mean?
They
don't make it.
They try and seem like they're like small time consumers.
Oh, fuck that noise. That ain't happening. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you're not talking about 15 or $20 million, you may not get them on the phone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what it kind of feels like. So
yeah,
the
1 month right.
tenure was 2.75. That's what it is right now.
Okay, for 1 month.
10 years, 1 to 60 months are effect from 13th of July, 2010. Okay, so this will work.
Good.
This rate, 2.75. So now I would have to take that and divide it by 30 and then divide it by 3.
Fine.
To get my 10. All right, so 2.75 divided by 30.
Now you're making lots of shifts, and so that's okay. But you can play with this, Nelson. We're just trying to get you straight on the formula. So those minute details, we can work this out, you see, on exactly how that works for you.
Okay, 0.91.
But you get the point. How much?
So it's 0.916.
Very good. Okay,
10-day
so now
rate.
Take your A, 0.916. That's a positive number. Do we concur?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so then you would divide that into your A value, wouldn't you?
Yes. So
okay,
now do
that.
I need to change the decimal point of? No, I don't.
No, you don't.
0.91.
Because you haven't set your new x-axis yet, which will be in the new justified position.
Yeah.
You see?
So let's take 0.916. Okay. 0.9.
Okay. And that value is?
Divided by 77.56 equals 0.01181.
Now, wait a minute. You took A and divided it by that rate?
It was 0.916 divided by 77.
But that's still a positive number. Yeah. Now, had that been a negative number, then you would have inverted it.
Okay. But this was the correct way to do it, right? Maybank rate over A.
No, A over Maybank rate.
Oh, that's how I should have calculated it this time.
Correct, because it was positive. That was the question. That was the qualifier. If it's positive, then it's A over. Because remember, it's A over B, and then that equals the new AB over, if the rate is positive, divided by that rate.
Okay. So it was 0.916 was the rate, 0.916.
Huh?
Okay, so it should be 77.56 divided by...
77.56 divided by...
0.916.
Good.
84. That's better.
And your original value was, with the adjustment on your... With the adjustment from your ratio, what was your price?
My original value was... The A value. Was what the hell is that? 1.4318.
So 140, because you moved it over, remember, because you adjusted it.
Yeah,
your decimals.
143.
143, and your new value is
84.67.
Very good. So what you're gonna plot 84.67 on your new y-axis when you find what the new x-axis is.
Oh, and that gives you your
A2.
Okay. A2. Yes, you have this 84.67 isn't A2.
No, you don't know the new x-axis yet.
You don't know A2 yet.
You know, but you know the value that you're going to plot.
Yeah. Oh,
but
man,
see, the
so
horizon
exciting.
Can change. See, the horizon can change.
Yeah.
And now you do your minus sine cosine of C.
Okay,
and
now I want to go. Okay, so I want to go. I want to put 84.67 and 0. What? How do I plot that? I should do 84.
No, it would be a 0. It
and
would
100.
Be.
And
100. No.
Okay.
No, the new value of A2, that's a whole new triangle. You have B1, A1 tangent. So if the Y is going to the sky, X would be 0, and Y would be 82 point whatever.
Oh, 84.67.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I have to open up a whole new graphing calculator.
No, okay. I don't, whatever. Yeah.
Because I want to keep what, yeah, exactly. So yeah. I've got a plot now. X is 84. Oh, no. Y is,
no, you don't.
X is 0.
You don't
y
know
is
that yet. That's, you just write that down. You got to find the new x-axis from the minus sine, minus cosine of C.
Okay.
And when you establish the new x-axis, then you plot that number based on the new xy-axis. And that's your answer to A2.
Okay, so now let's do the minus. So to get the equation for the, this is the only thing that I still have a little bit of trouble with, this graphing calculator.
Okay.
In order to get the minus cos of the minus A, sine of the minus A of C, for this graphing calculator, I don't know how to get it to spit out the waveform to find the intersection.
Well, the intersection would be the same if it were positive, but it would just be it would be reversed, wouldn't it?
Oh,
you're just
so
reversing the spin, aren't you?
Oh, it's just reversing. Okay, so could I just do it normal, it positive, and then flip it?
Try it.
Okay, so I would go sine times 1.5897x, and then cos 1.5. And graph that. Now that graphs nicely. Okay. Now I'm
okay. Now wait. Now wait.
Yeah.
What you just pulled is a sine wave from neither tangent. It's from C to the right. Do you see?
Yes.
But that wavelength would then reversely move to the left of C, would it not?
Yes, it would. If I
so that's it. Your answer. So you got your peak and your trough. You just go backward and plot it in reverse.
Okay.
So your peak is
going to
be a trough, and your trough is going to be a peak.
Where there's a okay, exactly. We said the same. Okay, perfect.
Uh-huh.
So now what I do is I go to the nearest intersection to 100.
No. You plot every, you got your values, you plot all the way back to the AB tangent.
From C.
From C, that's correct. But you're going to the left of C. And you plot every single point. And then once you get those plotted, you'll have your frequency ... just like you did sine and cosine of A and B, only you're doing it in reverse. And then you look at those dots, and if your peaks, whichever one falls the most inside the ABC line segment of the triangle, whichever one is the most, that becomes your new justified x-axis. And so then all you got to do is draw a line wherever that, where them dots are connected from your AB over to your B1A1 and extend it a little bit further because that's what you're graphing.
Okay, so right now I've got sine 1.5897x and cos 1.5897x, and they're making a very small two lines.
You've got to change your justification. Remember how you changed your justification?
Yeah.
You got to change it
now
too.
Now I have to take each point and plot them, and then times them by the two decimal points.
Whatever you did.
Okay, so where are these? No, I'm looking for these to land. I'm looking to draw a horizontal line.
Yes.
Oh, so I really only kind of need to take two of these because they're all horizontal to each other.
Correct. That's correct. But you're going to want to look at, what you're going to want to really look at is which ones, this is where it will get easy.
If I'm taking
but you
got to
think about it right here. Right. It's how many intersection points from the peak or the trough are the most. Or if you had a position where it was, let's say you had 20 points on the peak and 20 points on the trough that intersected inside the triangle. If they're identically equal, we'd say take the distance between the peak and the trough, and that becomes your X. If the peaks have more intersection points, that becomes your X. If your trough has more intersection points, which we give it, we'll give it to you, that would actually be a bit rare, but you can choose any set of point values, so it's possible, you see. Then that becomes, the trough line would become your new X-axis.
Okay, so right now I've got, I'll find 2 points. See, right now it's not sine to the negative one and cos to the negative one, so it hasn't been flipped. So should I really take the inverse points and plot them?
You could, as long as you justify them the same as you did your original sine and cosine of A. As long as, see, remember what
we said, whatever you do,
as long as you're doing it the same. Then what happens is, we'll get right to it. You do those calculations, decide where the most intersect in the ABC triangle, draw a line across. Now you've actually, you're starting to create a rhomboid. If you connect those points within the point, like the way your fractal works, but that's graduate school. Let's just get it simple. When you get your new x-axis that intersects with the new y-axis, which is your B1A1, then you go count up, what is it, 83, whatever your answer was, and you plot that point. And then that should be, when you get it to the same place, you know, when you get your justification back to the point, back to where it was originally, which you can take it right back to where it was after you do your compilations, then you'll have the correct value for A2 in your 100 bars away.
Uh-huh. So for right now, I've got my intersection points that I'm using right now just to see are 0.494. And for X, and the Y is 0.7071. And the next one is 2.4703 and negative 0.7071. So that was the negative trough. That one's the trough?
Correct.
Okay, so what I would do is, because I didn't do the sin to the negative 1 and cos to the negative 1, I would actually make that, I'd flip them.
Yes.
Okay, so I'd make the top one the negative 0.7071, and the bottom one's now the positive.
Fine.
Okay, now I need two more points. I need two more points because I've got to create horizontal. Oh, no, I don't, because I can create a horizontal line.
Well, you just look at
so
which
now
one,
I've got a time
peak or trough, peak or trough that applies, and then whichever one is the most, you just draw a straight line across between those two tangents, and that should give you your new x-axis.
Time's up.
Can I have a bit more time? I don't mind paying for it.
Are you another hour, you mean?
No. Just like a bit more time, like 10 minutes.
Well, we'll give you another 5-10 minutes.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, cool. All right, so now I'm plotting those. Okay, so those land. Oh, that's not correct. One, two.
Well, now, you'll play with that. You play with that. It's not a problem. Because all you're trying to do is see which one has the intersection, the peak or the middle or the trough that has the most intersection points. And that's how you then draw a straight line across. Because, see, that minus sine cosine wavelength, it's going to be parallel to the original x-axis, you see. Mm-hmm. You have to be.
So right now, the farthest to the left, intersection peak is to the right of C. Let me just see that again. Wait 1 second. That is the trough, and this is, so the farthest CC is 1.5, and the closest peak to the left is all the way out at 2.4. So the trough, this one's the trough. The trough lands within the two tangents.
Well, but it'll be fine. But you'll have multiples within the two tangents. You've got 100 blocks. Those intersections will intersect more than once in 100 blocks.
Oh, but not. Yeah, they intersect relative to 100. Okay, let me just think about that. Because when I go up the ratio, when I scale up the ratio, they don't intersect that many times. Because
it makes no difference. Everywhere they do, you look and see, because it's the same that you've done before, you look at how many times it did it, and you do it how many times you did it in the peak and the trough, and it's just which ones intersect in your big triangle, because it's also larger, too.
Mm-hmm. So right now I've got one that lands in between the two tangents that I know of. And that's, where is it here? Not 247. It's the negative one. It's the 49.4 and negative 70.71.
Okay.
Let me just put that in and see what it looks like on my other, copy that. Minus 70.71. Okay, so when I put that in, when I plot that, you see where it comes up? It comes up below the x-axis.
Fine. And remember we said that would be okay.
Yep. And so that's where, so it comes up, that's fine. So a horizontal line is drawn there.
Well, it's just, now you got to look at the repetition. And if you have, what if you have none inside the triangle?
If you have none inside the triangle, I don't know what happens.
You'd take the distance between.
Okay. But, or you could always just move your ratio so you did have one.
Well, but if you move your ratio to that, you got to move your ratio
to
everything
else too. Oh, yeah, exactly.
See, so, that's the reason we said you can do what you're doing. It's no problem as long as every single time you do the same thing. Otherwise, you're creating more variables than you can calculate.
Uh-huh. So with this...
So once you find that the point of where it intersects, okay, and you establish that new x-axis, then you x, and then you already have the new y, which is the B1A1, then from that x-axis, you start counting to the point of the answer that you got. And that's your A2. But now you move decimals with A, so you got to move at decimals back for A2. And that should be your answer.
So right now, if I use, can I use this horizontal line at the 49.4? And
does it intersect inside the triangle, yes or no?
Does it intersect inside the triangle? No.
Yeah, because you got a sine and a cosine wave. They should have intersection points in the peak and the trough.
It doesn't intersect in the triangle. It would if you
didn't... On the peak or the trough?
Intersects within the two tangents below.
A bunch of times it should.
Yes, it does a bunch of times. Well, that's
what you plot. And then you look at those dots that you've plotted, and you see which peak, middle, or trough is the most inside the triangle, and that's your x-axis.
Which peak? Most inside the triangle.
Right. So, and then this will make sense because you're just right, you're in the heat of it. But when you go, oh, hell yeah, okay, I have my peak and my trough, just like I did with A, okay, and you look at those dots, and it makes no difference what the values are, because the computer will do that for you. Then you just go dot, 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 dot. Okay, the peak side has 15, the trough side has 2 or none, okay? And then the one that has the most number of dots inside the triangle, draw a straight line across, and that's your new x-axis. Then your new x and y is there for you. Plot the value that you calculated earlier, and that's your new A2 value.
Okay. Well, this lands in the triangle. This one lands in the triangle.
And is that on the peak side or the trough side?
It's the peak side.
Okay, so it's the most on the peak. Then draw a straight, connect those dots between those two tangents.
Okay, connect those dots.
Okay, and now your new x-axis is?
Your new x-axis is at 49.4 on the y-axis.
Okay.
The original. Yeah.
Okay, so you take the value you got, which was?
84.67.
Say it again.
84.67.
Okay. So add 84 point whatever you said, add it to the set where the new x-axis is from the old x-axis.
Okay, so add 49 to 84.
And now what's your value?
84 plus 49.4 equals, let me see here, 84.67 plus 49.4 equals 134.07.
Now, okay. Now, what was your original A?
My original A. Holy shit. Original A was 143.18.
And what's your new A, too?
134.07.
There you go. How many pips is that, Big Daddy?
But it's not. It didn't. That answer wasn't in the 10 days. It's not there yet. But it's a lot lower than what it was right now.
Okay.
Okay. So right now the price is 135.41.
And you got 130 what?
134.07.
Okay, how much distance is that?
It's going to take another couple days.
Okay, now you know that, don't you? But now, you still got a little refinement to do on picking your points, you know, how you're plotting this crap, because you've got a little bit of ratio issues. Play with it and re-listen to your session, and you'll get some fine-tuning points. But you see now you're getting to where you can actually calculate from a proving point that this calculations can give you accurate values.
I mean, I can't believe that the number is even remotely, like the numbers
well,
that I was
because
doing when I was
that's
crazy.
Right, because that's right, because humans gauge everything based on time, and it's like going to the craps table.
Uh-huh.
You're taking probability and applying it to an application of a span of time. Well, time is a false premise. You're talking about if you could know the vibration of the dice, you'd know what they are all day long.
So why didn't this
That's
spit
it.
Out?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, what's your last question?
Why didn't this spit out the answer for the 10 days?
Because you have a bit of ratio refinement.
Okay, there you have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You play with your ratio refinement. And then when you get that that works, then you'll know exactly. Because, see, your plotting is just a little skewed, but you're so close you can taste it.
Yeah, you're telling me. Okay, fantastic.
Good.
Okay, thank you very much.
You by Joe, we're getting there. Therefore, we are totally, happily, deliciously, forever David Rockefeller.
Okay, I'm going to play a little music.
have you been there before? Walk down your doorsteps, you'll take some more steps. What did you take them for?
There's a private in my boat, and he wears this instead of medals on his coat. There's a chicken in my nest, and she won't lay until I've given her my vest. At her request, she asks for nothing. You get nothing in return. If you want, she brings you water. If you don't, then you will burn.
You go through changes, it may seem strange. Is this what you're put here for? You think you're happy and you are happy. That's what you're happy for.
There's a man who can't decide if he should fight for what his father thinks is right. There are people wearing frowns who'll screw you up, but they would rather screw you down. At my request, I ask for nothing. You get nothing in return. If you're nice, you bring me water. If you're not, then I will
save.
just before the music was the eighth installment of Nelson trying to figure out the 4X formula. That was April 21st, 2011. So we have Sean here. Maybe Sean wants to say something before we end in 4 minutes.
It was almost as sweet as Super Sugar.
Not that sweet, though.
No.
So did you like that last song, Creator Has a Master Plan?
Yes, that was a very nice massage.
Is that why you went wowee? Or the music
and the recording, Bob, the recording, all those little wordies I posted there I got from this eighth session. It's stuff he applies to that formula that you are applying to the Art of Living.
Yes.
And he's making, it's like he's saying it, he's hiding it in plain sight, but it's what this is all about. The way he says, Bob puts no regard on anything when he goes into, because when he goes to retrieve it, it's from a new position.
Yes, it's like, I moved on the grid.
You always, so nothing bothers because whatever comes your way, you know you can approach it from a different angle. And that's the suspended
that
judgment.
To you, too. That's what you do. You ready to accept
360
that?
Degrees.
Well, the I'm going to select that part. I'm going to excerpt that and have it as a little soundbite to a nice little statement. Michael says, a perfect set of timeless classics forever renewed by DJ Bob. That's Michael out there in Africa. Africa, for fuck's sake.
Hey,
here's a huge
Michael.
Continent. It's time for you to come in for your yearly appointment, Michael. Need to get that colostomy done and the other rectal examination. So should we call again? What don't you think?
Bob, I'm said in the recording to rectify your vibrational occurrences.
What was the last word? Rectify your vibration and?
Your vibrational occurrences.
Oh, okay, vibrational occurrences. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was a great statement. Yes. I don't even know how I got to Maui. And then he says, the guy, the bastard's on Grand Wailea, for God's sakes.
He says, the fucker lives in Maui and he doesn't even know how he got there.
He's talking like the boys back home. He's imitating what they're saying about me.
Then he said, and he didn't put in any overtime either.
That's right. He didn't even show up for work.
Yeah, no extra hours needed.
Yeah, it's a pleasant way to describe a criminal. Ayn was very nice in describing Bob the con man. Conned his way all the way to Hawaii.
Slack his way all the way then.
Yeah. Slacked off. Yes. A perfect set of timeless classics. That's Bob's life. Perfect set of timeless classics. Forever renewed by DJ Bob. Nicholas, his colleague out there in Africa, super duper, Bob, says Nicholas. All these people thoroughly impressed with the Life Achievement Award of Dobbstown. Oh, did you get knocked off? Sounds very dead.
No, I'm here, Bob.
That sounds very quiet when you're not speaking. Oh, here's somebody, United Kingdom. Who would that be? Is that Phil? Hello.
It's me.
It's Phil.
Hi, Bob. Hi,
well, let
John.
Me just play Phil's song. Well, I got
hey,
a second
guys.
Here. Where was that? Are we going to make it? I might have to drown out Can I get to it? I like this. It's a good song. Good description of Carolyn.
Yeah, brilliant.